Started recording, and for some reason it didn't give the recording announcement, so the meeting has started.
Yeah, I got the recording announcement, so hopefully everybody else did as well. This meeting's being recorded. So welcome to the November 4th TSC meeting. We have two pieces of information that you need to abide by as we start the meeting. The first is the antitrust policy, which is displayed on the screen. And the second is our code of conduct, as is linked in the agenda. Basically, don't be a jerk. Everyone is welcome to join and participate. So welcome to the non-TSC members who have joined us. We're looking forward to the conversation today. So we have a couple announcements. The first announcement is one that you will see on the agenda every week, because every week we have a weekly developer newsletter that goes out. And so the call here is that if you have any information that you would like to share with the wider Hyperledger developer community, then please add your content here and we'll make sure that it gets into the newsletter. The second announcement that we have is that immediately following this call, there will be a maintainer orientation call. And during that call, we'll be talking about a couple of different things. The first one, how to create a Hyperledger lab or an incubation project or a graduated project. So we'll be going through the kind of the project life cycle. And then the second one is around the question of, we'd like to host another Hyperledger maintainer summit. And we'd like to find out from the community what they might like to see in that summit, as we cover that and how it might work. So looking forward to getting some input and feedback from the wider community. Are there other announcements that people have that are not on the list?
I do. I have two other announcements. One is that our marketing DevRel call is next week. It's on the calendar. We're trying to figure out the future direction of that call. So please attend. And the second announcement is that you will soon see a cancellation for this meeting, this TSC meeting, and I will send out a new invite. So don't be surprised when you see this meeting canceled later today, because there will be a new invite coming out very shortly thereafter. That's all I got.
All right. Anybody else have any announcements? Okay, let's then get into the agenda. So as always, the first thing on the agenda are our quarterly reports, which are all held over from previous meetings. I apologize to the Aries and Indie community. For some reason, last week I was a week off when I listed the upcoming reports. So most likely that is my fault and not their fault for being late. But anyway, there are some existing reports that are out there. I went through them this morning. I think the two that had maybe some comments or questions that we could talk about in this meeting are the Avalon and the Sawtooth report. So I think on the Avalon report, there was a question around what would it look like to split out the Intel SGX portions to move that to the Confidential Compute Consortium, and what kind of code would be left in the Hyperledger source repositories? Would it be the blockchain connectors, and kind of what would that look like? I don't know if we have anybody who's from the Avalon team that's on the call.
I can talk to somebody at Intel and see if they will respond.
Okay.
I think the thing to do for me is probably call into one of their meetings, since that's what we're encouraging TSC members to do.
Sounds good, Dano. All right. So on the Sawtooth one, the comment at the end was specifically around details about kind of who's using Sawtooth and how do we get data and stories out there surrounding this. I am bringing this up mostly to ensure that the staff has seen this question, because as Arun mentioned in his response, is probably a question for the Hyperledger staff. And how do we get data specifically about our projects into the greater Hyperledger marketing and blogs and those sorts of things. So I don't know if anybody on the staff would like to comment on best ways to get information about the different projects and what's happening in those projects.
I'll take a stab at it. That basically comes by request. We reach out, we ask people to give us the information and write the case studies. We work with them to write the case studies and the blog posts, et cetera. I don't have a, I don't know, David Boswell, I don't know if you are aware of any efforts in that area for Sawtooth.
I know, I think you're right. I mean, as far as tracking users go, that's not something that would be in Insights. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, yeah, this is really reliant on people in the community who are doing things with a specific project letting us know, right? I mean, unless somebody tells us, it's hard for us to know. I will say this is, again, maybe where the idea of a liaison could come in handy, because it just, I know, because I have been to some of these special interest group calls, sometimes things about Sawtooth come up in there. So for example, in the media and entertainment SIG, there was a really interesting presentation earlier this year about an NFT marketplace that was built on Sawtooth. But again, that might not have gotten much exposure outside of that group. So there are things that are happening. I think, it, again, maybe the question is, how do we surface that more widely? Sometimes also there are meetups, for example, that feature a specific project that might not get seen beyond that. But Rye is right. As far as like something that shows up on the Hyperledger site, for example, I mean, that's really on the onus of the people who built a tool with Sawtooth in this case to agree to create a case study, right? I think the answer is we're a big sprawling community and things happen. Like, how do we pull that information together and make it more discoverable is maybe a wider issue beyond just what's going on with Sawtooth. But maybe that's a wider discussion. But some things are happening with Sawtooth, if that's the question, and how do we surface that? That's a good question for the marketing committee, maybe.
Okay, maybe this is
I'm on my phone. I just want to add that, yeah, surfacing this information is the big part of it. I mean, just from the member case studies that we do, we reach out to all our members. We did just publish one on Sawtooth, which is Bondi Value. And I know Sexton's in there as an official case study as well. I think if the question, and maybe is Kamlesh on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Maybe we can talk offline, but I think David's point about surfacing where this information is easier for you and for others is the right approach.
So actually mainly for others, because in the last 4 to 5 years, like I am and my company were using the Hyperledger thing. And even I talk to the many community members, whether they are using Hyperledger, non-Hyperledger projects. So for other people, Hyperledger means Hyperledger fabric. And other things could be maybe for the identity management, people talk about the indie Aries. Oh, mainly indie, not even the Aries. So, but we have different DLT like Iroha and other projects. So if you have such data, so community and blockchain architect can decide like which is the right product and right DLT for the particular use case. Because currently the I see and I face with the different customers and clients, they only know about the Hyperledger fabric is a Hyperledger project. But if you have good stories and good production deployment of the other projects and right fit for the particular use cases, then it should be kind of communicated to the community, the broader level, so they can make a right choice for selecting any DLT.
Okay. Yeah, David, you came off mute. Did you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think, yeah, maybe that's part of a follow-up to the Greenhouse Task Force, that one of the kind of open issues that came out of that maybe we want to decide what to deal with. But what I hear you saying is maybe how do we help people get started and find the right part of the Hyperledger project for them? And maybe for some people that's one project and for some people it's another one. So to me, that sounds like an onboarding question, not specifically necessarily related to Sawtooth where this question came from, but how do we onboard people to any of the Hyperledger projects or labs? And I think we could certainly do a lot more around helping people get oriented and finding the right project or lab that's a fit for them. So I'd love to talk more about what to do with those open tasks that came out of those greenhouse task force.
Okay, sounds good. I think then we'll move on in the agenda. Before we move on, though, are there other questions that didn't get surfaced in the reports that people do have on any of the reports? All right, so it sounds like a no. I will then move on to the white paper task force that was added to the decision log. The intent of this task force is to create a white paper around the role of blockchain in the elections process. So I didn't see any comments or anything show up specifically on the issue itself. Is there a discussion that people want to have on this particular decision item before we think about coming to a decision?
Tracy, sorry, for me personally, I'm completely lacking the background on this initiative. Was this a mandate from the TSC or from the foundation in general? How did this come about?
Yeah, so definitely not a mandate from the TSC. The folks in the community, Vikram specifically, who's on the call, I believe, today, added this request as something that they are interested in pursuing. Hart?
Hey, I guess my thought is this is a super good idea. And it's always good to have people exploring these applications. I guess the question is, what or how is Hyperledger planning on endorsing this?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Would this be endorsed by Hyperledger in general, or this is just something contributed by the community?
I mean, because we're also writing, you know, there are also sort of groups of Hyperledger people writing academic papers. You know, should we get those approved by Hyperledger, or is there a process? I mean, it might be good to advertise papers too, right? Just curious about this, or if anyone has any thoughts.
I can say what we've done before. When a paper has come out of one of the official approved Hyperledger groups, we've put it on the website and have given it Hyperledger branding. So for example, the telecom specialist group has written two papers. So perhaps that was some of the motivation here by the people wanting this to be an official task force group, so it could kind of receive the same sort of process.
Or no?
Yeah, and so I guess David won't be surprised by what I'm going to say here, because that the point has been, you know, a point of contention for a while, is the very use of the term white paper. I mean, for some of us with some research background, you know, white paper conveys a very specific type of document, which I don't know here if it's actually implied to be that kind of white paper or not.
You're absolutely right. And you're right. I didn't kind of go into those details, but you're right. The telecom group called their papers solution briefs, not white papers, just for clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd suggested to stay away from using the term white paper, because it does tend to carry that quite a bit of meaning for some people, at least. And so I guess that's my question to, you know, here. is that really intended to be a research type of paper, which, you know, again, comes with quite a bit of expectation. And I mean, I take it from Hart's reaction that he reads that as a, he's a research guy. And so he takes it as a kind of research type of paper.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, it sounds to me what's missing at this point is for this gentleman to find a to find an endorser. It can be a TIG, SIG, or one of the projects, so they can have in the end have a platform to publish this, right?
Art.
Yeah, thanks, Arno. To follow up on the comments, you know, yeah, when I see white paper, I expect something like new to be constructed. And, you know, maybe this is like an SOK paper or a systemization of knowledge, which is also great. And I don't want to discourage this effort at all. I think it's fantastic that we have people around Hyperledger getting together and do this. I just want to, you know, properly figure out what we want to call it and how we want to handle it so we can have more of these in the future.
Okay, thanks, Hart. Nathan?
And I think that that distinction of getting the research done and whether we endorse the research is important, because a lot more of this kind of work would be really helpful, even if a lot of us might consider this work dangerous or difficult to do right. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying to figure it out and do better. I know that, you know, publishing things like healthcare records on blockchains and voting on blockchains are often considered very dangerous activities because of the track and trace ability that's involved in those use cases. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be, you know, putting our best thinking forward in terms of what's possible, what's not possible, what's recommended, what's not recommended. And this is the kind of effort that will lead to that.
And if I could just jump in real quick, sorry, I didn't raise my hand. This is another example where maybe there are things happening in the community where, you know, if we had more cross connections, we could connect the dots. Just anecdotally, I know that Jim Mason has organized a meetup tomorrow with somebody talking about a different white paper on voting using blockchain. So a lot of this stuff is happening. So maybe I would encourage the people who, you know, want to do this to go to that meetup. I sent the link to Arun, so they have it. But just there are things happening in the community on this. Maybe we can connect some dots and just flagging that.
All right, thanks, David. Jim?
Yeah, I guess I'll just like to think about what the next step should be. Seems like we need to find existing expertise on the subject. You know, from the projects or from the SIG working groups. If we don't believe there are existing expertise that can do the paper justice for reviewing it, then we may need to form a new task force or a new SIG.
Okay. So Vikram, I know you are on the call as you submitted this, and I see that you just raised your hand. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, hi everyone. Hi, this is Vikram. It's good to be part of this meeting. So what I wanted to do is, you know, as part of this task force, you know, so you know we you know came up with this initiative at Hyperledger India chapter. So as part of the chapter, we folks, looked into that, the blockchain elections is kind of a hot topic when it comes to, for example, what is happening in India and abroad. So although in India, we haven't tested this much, but, there are, success stories and, challenges that people have faced abroad as well, where this has happened. So we did a bit of, look into it for a while before we submitted this. So the idea here is to, gather the information, what has happened, make it part of this, initiative and, from their learnings. And as part of it, also look at that, how this can be implemented and not just in one way, come up with, multiple ways of, how this can be achieved and, what is it then that, you know, if someone is, you know, jumping into it or probably wants to do something about it, you know, for blockchain and elections, it could be, you know, the reference material to, you know from, you know, a crux that, okay, who all have done it and, you know, how it all happened. And again, you know, not particularly, you know, just, you know, I understand, you know, someone suggested that, you know, maybe, you know, we should look at a product or something. So from that perspective, the idea is that, you know, we are not restricting it to a particular product. So that is not the idea. So the idea is to understand from that and, you know, suggest, you know, based on, you know, our expertise and obviously, you know, the people who we reach out to, obviously different product teams and gather their opinion. And, you know, combined opinion could form this as part of this white paper, where, you know, it could act as, you know, guidance for anyone who wants to do, repeat the same thing or, you know, get into, you know, elections using blockchain. I'm not sure, you know, if I, you know, provided all the answers that, you know, you were looking for. So please feel free to ask.
All right, thanks, Vikram. Kamlesh?
Yeah, so adding to Vikram's point, so in India, there are different Indian state governments and election commission and other regulatory bodies, or maybe like a research institute like Indian Institute of Technologies and this kind of things are already using the Hyperledger technology and other blockchain and piloting the blockchain kind of solution for the election with the remote voting or any kind of election processes. So all this kind of research institute or maybe this election bodies try to do the research and kind of reinvent the things. But if this is a white paper can provide some kind of details and materials, so then maybe this kind of white paper can be used by this kind of bodies to go through the research and take a right decision whether which kind of blockchain and what kind of attributes, like was like, for example, zero knowledge proof, identity management is a really well ingredient for the any kind of election solution for the blockchain. So this kind of research paper, I think, really, really helpful for the, because I think lots of initiative already going on, but everyone doing it their individual basis. So this kind of material, kind of white paper, could be kind of a starting point or maybe enhancing their solution according to the need.
Okay. Angelo?
Yeah, thanks, Tracy. I must admit, I don't understand why this should happen under the Hyperledger umbrella. I see part of the complexity of this thing. I see, I don't know, crypto conferences or journal where this can be addressed more properly, discussed at the theoretical first at the theoretical level, abstracting away the blockchain. So I see, we need first a solution before then going to the technology. So I think there are other venues where this can be discussed. Better venues that already exist. And I'm pretty sure also in universities, there are already groups that are working on this. Maybe Hyperledger can finance these groups. So can say, oh, we will have put some money on to help people develop protocols for elections for blockchain in the enterprise space. This might be more interesting, at least from my point of view, seems more interesting than us having a work group on this. I mean, we need experts, and experts in this case are people that have knowledge about crypto, distributed systems. They know what it means to perform elections in a digital world and so on and so forth.
But, okay. Yeah. So in the sake of time, because we do have a couple of other items on the agenda. Basically, what I'm hearing at this point is that the TSC is not ready to decide on this. They do think that a white paper is the wrong terminology for such a work product that would be developed. And then they're also looking for specifically, I think really, to me, it sounded like, you know, there was interest in it. Does this fall under a working group? Does this fall under a SIG? That sort of thing. I think the answer to that was the Hyperledger India chapter is interested in doing such work. So I don't think anybody is necessarily saying that that people shouldn't do the work. But yet at the same time, I do think that there is a concern about the language and the optics, if you will, of this being a white paper. So I see three hands. I think Kamlesh and Angelo, you haven't lowered your hands. Last comment on this goes to Hart, and then we're going to move on in the agenda.
Hey, Tracy, thanks a lot. I was wondering if there was a way that we could say basically to these folks, like, yes, this is a good idea. You know, we can give you like a meeting room or like a wiki page if you want to get started, but we're not ready to, you know, endorse something like this as an official Hyperledger paper, and certainly, you know, not a white paper. And if we could get back to them with something like that, do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good idea, Hart. And given that Vikram and a number of the people who are in the initial participant list are actually on the call today, I think that has been communicated hopefully during this call, but we can also then comment on the issue to that respect. All right. So thank you for the conversation on this. I want to move us on to the blockchain automation framework project proposal. So we do have some guests on the call who are here to represent the project proposal. So Sonak, are you going to drive us through that?
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Tracy.
All right, so Nat, you should be able to share. Yep, we can see it now.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. So I'm Shaunak Roy. I'm the product owner of Blockchain Automation Framework. And I'll just give a brief. So the whole, you know, in the meeting, the link is there for the rendered version. So I just opened it. And so the details are here, but I'll just run through quickly the context. Not sure how many of you have heard about Blockchain Automation Framework, but in summary, it is an accelerator which gives the developers and operators of a DLT network platform so that they can consistently deploy production-ready blockchain system or distributed systems on different cloud providers. I mean, we base it on Kubernetes, so it deploys it on Kubernetes, so fully containerized, and it can be also deployed across different public cloud or even private cloud environments. Context-wise, we did start the project in 2019 from Accenture, and then it was open-sourced under Hyperledger Labs in October 2019. And some principles that we followed are design for security, modular design. We do conform to the DLT reference architecture, which was open-sourced by Accenture. And then we always use all of the open source components, and it is also Apigee 2.0 licensed. It is infrastructure independent. We try to not use any cloud native cloud provider services, just basic VM and compute or networking in most of the cases. Project-wise, as you can see, we use Ansible, which is the main automation provider that is provided. But in general, we use Ansible more as a templating tool because the actual automation of the deployment is provided by GitOps. Kubernetes is the content, the platform on which the deployment will happen. We use Helm as the Kubernetes package manager, and HashiCorp Vault we are using for as a secret manager and key manager, because we are using HashiCorp Vault, because it we don't, again, kind of similar to be cloud platform independent. We are using HashiCorp, we're not using any cloud key management service. And from the projects wise, from DLT platform wise, BAF currently supports these, Hyperledger Fabric, Besu, Indy. Then we also support GoQuorum and Corda Open Source and Corda Enterprise. Main motivation wise, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in general, it was more about because we have so many different blockchain platforms and they each have them have their own way of deployment, way their own way of key generation, key storage and deployment, and their own way of different other associated services. For example, like Quorum and Besu has a private transaction manager. So these would make the whole actual deployment quite complex, especially if you're trying to do it for a POC or a more production environment, not just a development environment, which you can, most of these providers, DLT platforms has there some form of a Docker Compose file, which you can run it locally, but we are more aiming towards a production ready or worthy network, it will be much more complex. So we try to make that, cross that bridge basically. And the main objective as well is to provide the developers also an architecture of how a blockchain network, or in case of production, how you can take care of the security, key generation, key storage and management, as well as the main operations like addition of a new node or deployment of we also provide have a sample application. So in case someone wants how to know how a sample application, a blockchain or a distributed application would look like. So that's the summary. And this, again, it's a very long description, but the solution in general is we do have a set of configuration file, or one configuration file if we are only deploying a single network, and then BAF reads it and then translates it into Helm value files, which are used by Flux operator to automate the deployment of the choice of platform that was selected. In general, I can describe this, the architecture or the whole process basically. So we do have, everything is containerized. So we use images, the fabric images. And then we have written our Ansible code, which does all these activities like certificate creation, CA deployment, joining a channel, order a server, services, nodes, and all that. And then an operator or a developer will provide the input, which is the configuration file, which we generally call network YAML. And the Ansible automation will use the Helm chart and create those packages so that it gets deployed on Kubernetes. And this format is used for all the platforms like Besu, Indy, Quorum, Corda Enterprise, as well as Corda Open Source. And from a resource-wise, so until now, from this document, we have 41 total contributors, and it has been over past, since 2019, we have actively participated in the community. We all our meetings and the planning happen on open community on Zoom, and then we have we have at least for past 14 months, for 14 contributors in the past 6 months. And we have now got some sponsors for at least three other different companies and one independent contributor as a sponsor. We have all the deployment guide and the operations guide detailed. We have very quite thorough read the docs documentation. And as I just said, we also have the sample supply chain and the sample indie, which is the Aries example application deployable via BAF, so that anyone can prove the working of the DLT network. A few fake FAQs are here. Confirming I will not run through all the thing. So difference between blockchain automation framework and blockchain as a service. So the main point there being blockchain automation framework scripts are not tied to a specific cloud provider. And it is also we support multiple different versions. And I mean, it is, again, first of all, it is open source. So anyone can take it and deploy there with some changes, deploy in a newer version or an older version of a specific DLT platform if they choose to. It supports heterogeneous deployments across multi-cloud, and it is bring your own infrastructure. So the only thing that we ask is it's a Kubernetes and Vault, one Vault. That's the minimum, but that's anyone can bring their own infrastructure. The organization and all, everything can be managed by a single network YAML file, which is basically an operator YAML file. And then we, as I said, we also have a sample supply chain application. These are the platforms that we are supporting. And from comparison wise with other labs, we did discuss working with Cello. We did have participated in meetings, but then as I know, Cello for only supports Fabric right now. And we did not get a lot of feedback from then about the collaboration. The other highlight that I'd like to mention is that Fabric Operations Console is now fully integrated with BAF. We have created a Helm chart so that we can deploy Fabric Operations Console on or using BAF. And then that basically means all the Fabric operations that you can is available through Fabric Operations Console can be now done on a BAF network. Okay, we have maintainers. We have multiple companies represented in the maintainers. And for project usage, I mean, at least for within Accenture, we know that we have participated in at least 7 projects where BAF has been used both for production and as well as POC projects. That's pretty much. We can answer any questions, but I think that's all. Otherwise, the legal part from the naming and all that kind of things, we don't have a choice of name, and we'd like a Hyperledger committee to choose a name for us. And from licensing, it is Apache 2 license.
All right, thanks so much, Sonette, for going through that. So at this point, open for discussion, comments, questions, anything that people have related to this particular project proposal. Angelo.
Beautiful. This is what I want to see. I'm looking forward this to become a Hyperledger project. Really, really nice.
All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Jim.
Yeah, I also think this is a very good step forward. My main concern is regarding how to position this with Cello, both being top level projects. Seems like both are trying to solve this the same problem, but seems like BAF is further along, even though it came about later than Cello. That's my impression. Maybe this is not accurate. Are we going to retire one and then replace it with with BAF, or what's this feel like it's a duplicate between the two?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm happy to comment on that or provide my thoughts, but I would love to hear other people's thoughts on that as well. My expectation is that there would be no change to Cello as it stands today.
If I might, I'm cursed without a raise my hand button.
No problem.
I would say that this is a topic that has been on the TSC backlog for a while. Which is how do we, if a project is not doing what it set out to do, does it become, what do we do with it? Does Cello become Fabric Cello? Does Explorer become Fabric Explorer? Those are questions, I think, for the future. And I would agree with Tracy's assessment that immediately nothing would change. If BAF was approved, we would have BAF and Cello, and that would be it.
Arno?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So first, from the proposal on it by itself, I think it is definitely worthwhile. We always tend to favor that lab of projects starts as labs, even though it's not a mandatory step. I mean, clearly, here we have the case of a team that has been working for quite a while in the lab. We can't say that they've been pushy. They took their time. They have set themselves up as a within the Hyperledger and organization, and they live by the organization's rules. And I say that because I'm a lab steward, and I saw it coming, and I've kind of looked at it a few times. And for me, it has given all the good signs. So just from that point of view, I think it makes sense. Now the question is pertinent with regard to Cello, and I wanted you, if you could expand on the answer, but it sounds like, the way I read the text that's right there, the result of our initial discussion is that BAF can be another Kubernetes targeted agent within Cello is unfortunately what, it's a polite way to say, yeah, whatever. You guys can just be, a feed to our project. And that is a bit hand wavy in my opinion, but, more generally speaking, so I'm interested to know a little bit more behind this, but basically this is saying the Cello team doesn't want to, embark in some kind of convergence. And so we have lots of precedents of competing projects. And so, I'm sympathetic to what Jim says that maybe we shouldn't have that, but that's the way it is. And I don't see that this is a ground for us to say, no, they can't have it. There, it does raise again the question that I touched on last week. It was like, when and how do we prune the garden? But, it's kind of a separate question in my opinion.
Yeah, and Arno, I will say that when the team originally started working in labs, part of what we went through was a process of seeing what exists in the community today, how can we have conversations with the different projects as well as labs to find out how we might work together more closely, right? So we did attend multiple Cello calls before we finally actually made it to have a conversation with them. I was not part of that call, so I can't give you specific details. The quote that you see here in the FAQ is what I got back as the answer from the conversations that did occur. So yes, I would probably read that as well as, okay, that's nice. But at this point, there wasn't interest, right? Now, it has been a while, I will say, I think, since that conversation happened. So, I don't know where we would go from here at this point, but just to elaborate kind of on that particular comment that you had, Arno. Angela, you had your hand up next before we get to Sonak.
Yeah, just to say that personally, I don't find the problem having projects that are more or less solving the same problem. Actually, we have multiple blockchain systems, so they are actually trying to solve the same problem. So I see this positively as competition, and then we will see what will happen. But I agree with Arnaud indeed, and with you, Tracy, all the others have said the same, that pruning is probably the most important thing, but not the competition. Actually, we should foster the competition there. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Angelo. And I think obviously not necessarily part of this particular conversation right around blockchain automation framework, but a conversation that we have should have in a future meeting regarding the pruning. Sonak, I think you were next.
So I was going to add on that. Yeah, we did we reached out to Cello team and attended their conversations and all, and even tried to contribute as well. But yeah, it was not met with a similar, taking forward from the Cello side. I always see what is happening in Cello as well. I can see that, yeah, they're still having, it's only one fabric, and even I think it's only 1.4 only, not even two. It is more revolving around the Docker. And it has become more about the front end operational console now, that I believe, whereas BAF is more on the deployment of the network. As I said, we have now incorporated with Fabric Operations Console, and we don't intend to become a front end.
All right, thanks so much, Jim.
Yeah, so this is by no means a criticism to either teams. I think I definitely see the difference between the two, both in terms of one being more of a management console, the other is its underlying provisioning, but also the approach. One is template-based, more declarative, the other is completely code and scripting. I guess we just need to be careful with setting up the precedents where when a team wants to solve a problem that a existing project is already supposed to be solving, what are the things that makes them want to start something new rather than contributing to an existing project? Because if people are not able to work with existing teams to contribute and make it better, and they ended up having to create something completely different, then I think the end result is, sure, we have competing projects and it's good to have competition, but maybe we would have had something better if all the teams worked together. I just don't know what are the things we can do to encourage more collaboration rather than starting something from scratch. Maybe yeah, there's something that both teams can share to see what could have happened to have allowed the teams to work together instead of creating something new.
Yeah, I think these were points that came up last week, right, when we were talking about the objectives. Jim, did you raise your hand again, or did you intend? Okay. All right. So not hearing anything negative, are there any sort of concerns that people have other than the overlap potential with Cello? All right. Are we ready to move forward with this, or are we wanting more time to take to consider this proposal?
I'm happy for us to vote on it and approve it.
All right. So that sounds like a proposal.
Yeah. I'll move.
All right. Anyone want a second?
I second.
Okay. And Daniel, I saw you had your hand up. Did you want to comment or
I was just wondering if the name needs to be done before or after the vote, if what the precedent on that is.
So I think, yeah, Hart, go ahead.
It can be done after. We did Cactus well after the vote.
Okay. So as long as there's precedent, then no issue.
All right, so I think we're ready to vote. Shall we do a roll call vote, Rye?
Sure, and I will do it completely. I'll do it from the bottom up. The matter before the Technical Steering Committee, Troy, how do you vote?
Yes.
Tracy?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Kamlesh?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Dano?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Arun?
Yes.
Artem?
Yes.
Arno?
Yes.
Angelo?
Yes.
And the measure passes. So congratulations to the BAF team, the soon to no longer be the BAF team. And let's move on. That's great.
All right, great. So yes, congratulations. And I think we do have one last item on our agenda. And I think I'm going to hand that off to Grace to talk about the chat system and the concerns that exist with having both Matrix and Rocket Chat. Sure. That was on our agenda this week, yes? I think that was the last one.
Yes, yeah. No, you're right. Ryan, feel free to chime in. I'll just give the high-level overview, but obviously you're very, very close to this. So we, on the Beisu team, or I guess everyone's probably noticed that we've been running and have been planning on moving to the Matrix chat channel system for Hyperledger. As of a few months ago, and a few channels have moved over, such as the TSC one within Beisu, our Beisu contributors one has. But there's been a slight delay in the, or I guess a month long delay in the moving over because of the development work for Matrix and it not being able to scale correctly for the entire Hyperledger group. So the work that was ongoing to make it scale for our size community is on pause up until I think Q2 of next year. So it's my question for the group, where I want to kind of talk to the group about, you know, should we, one, pause the Matrix move and maybe move everyone back to Rocket Chat until we have a clear timeline or a clear, you know, until Matrix is officially ready for everyone to move over? Or two, should we continue as is and kind of split while we're as is until it's ready? Or should we, you know, consider other chat channel options and think about that as well? I don't know, like, this has been a Beisu challenge because half of our maintainers are operating on Matrix right now, but our new users are asking questions in Rocket Chat. And I believe the documentation currently, on the Hyperledger sites all directs to Rocket Chat right now. So we're kind of just splitting communities in our chat channels. So I wanted to raise, one, how are other communities addressing this? Two, if it's, you know, maybe getting kind of agreement from the TSC on how we should move forward, or, you know, if there are best practices on any of your all's experience. I see lots of raised hands. Hart, I think you were first. But I guess, actually, let me pause for 1 second. Rye, did I capture everything correctly? I just want to make sure I got that right.
You got it. The development resource that was working on the move is working full time on another project. And so you're correct. And Hart?
Awesome. Thanks, Grace, for bringing this up. I think ideally, and I think Grace hinted at this, like a split is a really bad thing, right? We're already encumbered with, you know, I think in all of our work lives, more communication channels than we can possibly deal with. So sort of the fewer extra communication channels we add and the fewer we have in total, I think is a very good thing. So I think we should probably try to avoid a split if possible.
All right, Nathan?
I've noticed the same split problem with the Aries and Indie communities. And had some trouble with the mobile client for the new matrix work. And it's the kind of stuff that will get worked out over time. And I think it'd be a good thing for us to keep everybody together on a platform until we feel like we're actually ready for a full cutover, because we've seen the same thing where the new users are showing up on Rocket Chat and having the maintainers already moved over to the new platform makes it hard to keep track of what's going on.
Okay. Anyone else? Sounds like it's a common problem that exists across multiple projects, right?
Yeah. So one thing that came out of the member summit last week was there are a lot of communities, particularly in APAC, that are using other chat platforms. They're not using either of these options. They're using WeChat or they're using WhatsApp and Telegram and Signal. So we should, acknowledge that it isn't just Rocket Chat or Matrix. The current situation is Rocket Chat, Matrix, WeChat, Signal, Telegram. So it's worse even than it appears.
Okay. So I think this is something that we should continue the conversation on, but it sounds like the desire from at least the people on the call here is to move back towards Rocket Chat and away from Matrix until we're ready to make a full-blown transition of all of the pieces, including kind of updates to the websites and documentation and that sort of thing. Nathan?
Just the last thing to mention there is there are competing communities that have easier accessibility on their chat. For example, for the areas in the indie projects, a lot of the conversations are being pushed over towards the Decentralized Identity Foundation, which has different membership requirements. And so, making sure this works smoothly as quickly as we can does help us to gather the community and rally people behind our co-projects.
Okay. Based on some feedback from the community last week, I did set up a Discord server because that seems to be fairly popular. And I'm just trying it out. So if anyone, I will post the invite link if anyone wants to try Discord and anyone has any strong feelings about it. I would love to hear it.
All right. So we are at the end of our time here. I don't know that we actually came to a decision / conclusion on this other than I think people would like to move the TSC chat maybe back to Rocket Chat until we're ready to make the transition completely.
Will do. I'll unarchive the channel.
Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for joining. Thanks for the conversation, and we will see you again next week.